Good afternoon. Big welcome to another edition of The X Collective, a monthly recurring series of interviews with founders, influencers and operators within the start and scale-up space. Today, I have the privilege to welcome Floris van Hooghuizen. Floris, welcome.
Thanks, Beer.
Cool. Thank you for coming over on this warm morning. And it's an especially exciting day because yesterday you've announced your fundraise. Big congratulations. I can imagine
Correct.
It's a huge
Thank
milestone
you.
For the company.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think the timing couldn't be better that we are sitting now here at this this table. Today, we're going to talk about creating transparency and financial inclusiveness for scale-ups by digitizing the investment supply chain. Well, that sounds very cryptic.
Supply and chain, value chain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're going to distill this in this conversation. I'm looking forward to going into a little bit more depth. But maybe before we do this, Floris, would you be so kind to maybe introduce yourself
sure.
and explain a little bit more about your background and, you know, the whole story of how you came to WeVest?
Absolutely. So Floris van Hooghuizen, active as an online entrepreneur since 2012. First built two property tech companies, and in 2014 I founded Barco.
Yeah.
And Barco is the market leader in Netherlands for the leading marketplace for boat rentals. Recently got acquired by our UK competitor Boro Boat.
Nice.
But back in 2020 I already started building a new company, namely WeVestor, based on my experiences I had from my previous ventures. And I really wanted to build a centralized platform to solve inconsistent shareholder management and to provide more financial inclusivity to startups.
Cool. And what problems did you face then in your previous businesses that led you to the conviction of building WeVestor?
Well, that I was managing my shareholders in a lot of isolated solutions. So for instance, my cap table on, I had to request a cap table from our notary. And it was sent by mail in a physical state, and we had to transform that into into an Excel file, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also regarding ESOP management. It was very unclear to employees how much they possessed. We couldn't provide this clear overview or this mm-hmm. interactive environment, and that's where WeVestor basically comes in. Is to centralize all of those different solutions on one platform. So not only your cap table management and your ESOP management, mm-hmm. but also your performance, like KPIs and financials,
yeah.
and legal documentations in one environment.
So from, let's say, registering the company to scaling up, this is the centralized repository, so to say, to keep track of all these documents and to also exchange it with relevant stakeholders.
Oh, that's our vision, to build a platform where we digitize equity management mm-hmm. from incorporation to exit.
Yeah.
So no matter where you are in your life cycle and you have a certain need for equity management, WeVestor is there for you.
Sounds like a big vision.
Absolutely.
Not something that you build overnight.
No.
How do you have such a big vision and then start really small, in the smallest way possible, to actually start the fire and build it up to where you want to be? What is your philosophy there, and how did you do it?
Well, we're as you can imagine, centralizing all of these solutions mm-hmm. in one platform is pretty comprehensive. So it requires a long development time.
Yep.
So we've been active since early 2020, and we launched our MVP earlier this year in January, mm-hmm. and that's when we started accelerating sales as well. But as you can imagine, building such platform, it takes time. But in the run-up for the launching the MVP, we validated a lot with potential leads, whether they were founders or early stage investors.
Yep.
We constantly kept communicating and shared with them the solutions and wireframes of the wireframes of the solutions we were building.
Cool. And just out of curiosity, what learnings and experiences that you built in, essentially building up the previous companies that you founded, were transferable to this business? Because from a business model perspective, it's something completely different. From an industry perspective, it's something completely different. What things that you've learned in building your previous businesses could you apply now at WeVestor? How did it help you?
Good question. Well, basically the frustrations I had from my previous businesses in managing my shareholders and the inflexibility regarding regarding equity, we're trying to solve that with WeVester.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on the on the platform side, but do you also mean like on the operational side?
Yeah, no, like personally. Yeah. So from capability or experience perspective from you as a founder, that you could actually apply back into building WeVester.
I think the hiring process.
Okay.
But it's also something we learned now in the past 2 years at WeVester, that especially regarding developers, it's highly competitive at the moment.
Yeah.
And you always have to have a plan B, C, and D. That made us anticipate earlier. And I also think assumptions regarding the product. Keep validating, keep communicating with your clients, and even in the past 2 years, we lost some weeks
mm-hmm.
on the product side because we made we made too much assumptions on the product where we had to validate it with our potential clients or with our existing customers.
Yeah, exactly. So, really, this. This very scrappy mindset and continuously working together with customers to get insights on your product and to keep on validating it.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And if you've been through this process, you've probably already have a lot of learnings on what to do, what not to do. But still, then you say that sometimes you make assumptions, which you should try to prevent.
Yeah.
Cool. And I just already mentioned, you've announced your fundraise, which is fantastic. You're part of a special story, right? Because you don't have an ordinary, let's say, venture capitalist on board. Can you elaborate a little bit on, how the company was originated and the type of investor that you have on board?
Yeah, sure. So our investor is VentureRock.
Yep.
VentureRock is actually a sort of combination between a venture builder and a VC.
Mm-hmm.
So they raise funds like a typical VC, but they're very much involved from the beginning where they apply a sort of milestone-based funding approach.
Okay, like a studio model? Almost,
yeah, but you're completely free to use their services
mm-hmm.
or not, and they are very involved from the beginning. And those milestones are on high level, like finding a problem solution fit, finding a product market fit, generating first traction,
mm-hmm.
Showing a clear development of your customer acquisition cost and your lifetime value, and. Immediately when I started this business and together also with VentureRock as an investor,
mm-hmm.
I was very excited about this model because it brings back a lot of focus to the entrepreneur. And on the other side, I completely understand that it reduces the risk for the investor, of course, and for its LPs.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have a problem solution fit or a product market fit, you just don't achieve those milestones.
Exactly. And this methodological approach really helps out filtering good companies from great. Then.
Absolutely, yeah.
How? What are the milestones, and how far are you currently in the program?
Well, we just entered the last phase.
Yeah.
And raised a total amount of investment of 2.2 million.
Cool.
And now, we're ready to
on
scale.
On your own feet.
Yeah. Now we're ready to scale. Yeah.
Super.
Yeah.
How many people do you work with currently?
Including some 2 or 3 freelancers, 20.
Cool.
Yeah.
Getting significant now.
Getting significant, yeah, but heavy on the product side.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, the product with what we're building is pretty comprehensive. And now we are ready to scale also on the business development side. Yeah.
Okay, then maybe, back to the product, because the vision is super comprehensive and I think highly ambitious. What does your actual value proposition look like at this moment in time?
We have 5, actually. We call it the Big 5.
Yeah.
So from early stage to later stage, we have an equity reward model for companies who are still in idea phase.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on existing methodology, the slicing pie, being used by around 20,000 companies worldwide. And we basically digitized that the methodology
mm-hmm.
And where companies can use it in their early stage to set up a flexible cap table based on contributions like time, cash, IP, or CapEx, like, for
instance. In-kind rewards.
Exactly. And when then a taxable event occurs, for instance, generating revenue or an investment, then you can transform it into an actual cap table.
Okay, cool.
So that's in the idea phase, and that's a clear also differentiator from competitors.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you are further in your life cycle and you're raising funding, ventures are already using it as their data room to raise funding,
okay,
because you have everything centralized in this interactive, good-looking environment. Then companies who have already shareholders on board and are even further in their life cycle, they currently use it for their day-to-day shareholder management.
Yeah.
So where your cap table is centralized, your ESOP plan is administrated, where you also report your performance indicators from to your investors. And then we recently launched our ESOP management feature,
mm-hmm,
which is now being used by a couple of companies which are in scale phase.
Mm-hmm.
So think of 60, 70 FTE plus.
Nice.
And they explicitly use it for their ESOP management.
Yeah.
And then lastly, already some investors are using it to manage their portfolio because we have this multi-company feature.
Of course.
But in the course of the third quarter, we're going to focus on building a portfolio management feature. We call it the Eagle Eye feature,
mm-hmm,
where you by default see all of your portfolio performances and information also centralized in one environment and eventually mobile first.
Cool. So that again sounds quite comprehensive, and I think also a challenge because it's slightly different customer profiles for each solution that you offer. I mean, they tend to be in the same bucket, but they can also be quite different, obviously in characteristics and the way you should approach them and whatever. What type of company would you consider to be the ideal company for you to work with?
Currently pre-seed to early growth.
Okay.
And we already have some growth companies for using the ESOP management feature. But yeah, this is clearly our vision. Of course, we have a certain focus at the moment,
mm-hmm,
but eventually we want to provide the platform from incorporation to exit.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't provide yet services at the very early stage of that life cycle, like for instance, providing incorporation, a feature for incorporating your company.
Yeah.
But we have big plans of broadening that product offering,
mm-hmm,
to service companies wherever they are in their life cycle.
Yeah, clear.
Yeah.
Okay, then maybe one level deeper, because if you go to WeVestor's website, it says equity management simplified. How would you describe the definition of equity management, and why is it so important?
Anything to manage your shareholders. We consider it to be anything, from cap table management, cap table scenario modeling, feature also offering, your ESOP management, your legal documents, document management, but also managing your performance and reporting your performance,
mm-hmm,
to your shareholder. So it's a collective name for a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it's of course highly important because it's important to streamline your communication with your existing shareholders. What I personally also experienced that it was not always ideal in the past,
mm-hmm,
and also for fundraising, it shows that you have your things in order.
Can you shine some light on how it was done before WeVestor and how it's done using WeVestor?
You mean like best practices?
Yeah, no. Literally, like how the process of updating and evolving your shareholders was before WeVestor, and how it's changed, how you've changed the value chain and changed the processes and engagement with your shareholders using the product.
Yeah, well, we're changing it, and the funny thing is, you see, it really depends also on the market, because for instance, in the UK and the US. It's a no-brainer to look into a cap table management solution or equity management solution. But in the Netherlands, you still have to nurture it.
Build the categories.
Evangelize it.
Yeah, exactly.
And in other cuts, so it really differs per region, but it is of course in the end super important to have it structured well. And how it's currently used is very much in isolated solutions. So companies still using one solution for their reporting of their performance, mm-hmm. or managing their cap tables on spreadsheets, their cap tables and ESOPs, for instance. Mm-hmm. Legal documents still in Dropbox environments.
And the reporting over email and
the reporting over email in old school PDFs, PowerPoints, not interactive. Yeah.
Clear. You already mentioned, the difference between market readiness here in Europe and the US. In the US, there are some really big brand competitors, if you will, right? So I think by their size and also their focus probably on the US first, I don't know if you would actually have to deal with them in, if you would actually compete to them with them head to head, especially considering your ideal customer profile. What are some things that really set you apart? Is it the segmentation or is it also on the product level?
I think more on the product level. For instance, there's a big unicorn out there, Carta.
Yeah.
We consider ourselves we're building a solution from idea phase to exit,
mm-hmm.
which also makes us our platform usable for pre-investment startups. And Carta is a great platform, but it's very heavy on the cap table management. So we consider them to be more of a Salesforce-like solution.
Yeah.
But as a startup, when you're just when you're starting or you're in early growth phase, you don't always need a Salesforce comprehensive-like solution.
Mm-hmm.
So you would go for a Pipedrive or a HubSpot.
Okay.
And that's where we come in.
Clear. So more out-of-the-box solutions that are good enough to work with and cost you little to no time to set up versus very customizable, enterprise-grade kind of infrastructure.
Yeah.
I like that analogy between Salesforce and HubSpot. I think there is a lot of similarities there in that market. Understood. How big will you think this market will become in Europe?
Well, basically, every startup and at the moment early stage investor is our client, and that market is growing rapidly every year, so it's huge. And even we consider SMEs also to be adjacent markets we can address very soon, because there is this general trend also, of course, when you ESOP management, for instance, or financial inclusivity, there is this general trend not only within startups for financial inclusivity, but also towards SMEs.
Yeah.
And that's also a market we can definitely serve.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Hey, and you spoke about slicing pie. I think when we had a conversation previously, you also offer a feature in cooperative legal structures. Can you elaborate a little bit, because I think slicing pie is now a feature of your product. Why are you using this philosophy?
Because it's a true differentiator. We really want to provide a platform for startups which are just in idea phase or pre-investment phase, and we want to grow
in early
with them. Yeah.
Clear. Okay, so that is fully understood. And then you also had a philosophy about legal structures. And this was previously at the core of your product, not so much anymore. But can you elaborate a little bit on the principle of this cooperative structure?
Well, we are a cooperative ourselves, and we consider it to be an equivalent of the Delaware LLC, which is used by around 90% of the startups in the US, which provides a lot of flexibility in your startup, which means you are able to administrate the cap table yourselves, and where you can flexibly determine things like voting rights within your company.
Without having to go to the notary.
Absolutely, yeah.
Interesting.
And that is, and why is that? It's interesting for the sake of flexibility, but also because what's happening now in the US and the UK, for instance, or other Anglo-Saxon countries with a common law, jurisdiction is that tokenizing of shares is gaining rapidly in popularity. And that's also something you can, whether the EU initiates a new entity, or you apply it, or you establish a cooperative as an entity, that enables you to liquidate shares and trade shares among shareholders. And that's why we chose for that approach.
Nice.
And we can highly recommend.
Interesting. Yeah. And does it give you the same rights and legal protection and, and that kind of stuff? Okay, cool. So why is it not so popular then?
Well, that's a good question. It's also something, it's gaining popularity. Also, for instance, Rabobank.
Yeah, old school.
Yeah, it's good. So it's also, but it's definitely gaining popularity, but it needs some evangelizing. Yeah, absolutely. But it can solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. But you would have to make this decision from the very start, right? Otherwise, it's a fact after.
Yeah, but it's just to be clear, we're not imposing this structure to any startup because you don't need a cooperative to use the platform. But it is, and it's something we are applying ourselves,
which worth gives considering.
Us, and gives us a lot of flexibility. Among the shareholders within the company.
Very interesting.
Yeah, because we use that slicing pie model ourselves. Yeah.
Super interesting. I just find it quite fascinating that it's not so popular if it holds exactly the same rights and if it gives you exactly the same protection and it allows for greater flexibility, especially in early stage companies. You know, it would be super interesting to consider this, but it's not advertised anywhere.
No. It should be more promoted also from from out of the government. But I truly believe in a sort of EU entity, which provides this flexibility.
Understood.
Yeah,
I agree. Cool. Then you spoke a lot about ESOPs. Let's demystify ESOPs a little bit. Because what we find, speaking to a lot of founders or heads of people, is that setting up ESOP structures is more often than not on the top of their agenda. Obviously, in this super tight labor market where you need to be competitive, and I think also in a climate where it's become more common practice to have your employees and your team also share in the upside of the company. What to you is the importance of setting up ESOP structures?
Well, why it's important is because you're retaining talent, you are creating inclusiveness within your company. That's I think the main reason why you should.
So a long-term benefit of staying with the company and a sort of shared incentive to work towards to a larger goal, somewhat more in the future than just here and now.
Yeah.
And how do you enable companies to set up ESOP structures through your platform?
We provide the framework. We provide the framework to administrate it on admin level, so on founders level and on participant level, so also that employees have an clear overview of how their ESOP is progressing and how much is worth etc. We have our legal and tax partners. It's also something interesting. We're creating a sort of a car wash. We call it the ESOP Alliance, where provide a clear plan for your roadmap for your ESOP, where it starts with a tax setup and subsequently the legal contract drafting, and of course administrating it on a platform like us. So. Because there is a lot of unclarity around ESOPs, so where to start.
It's a hot topic, and everybody's trying to figure out what is the best practice and how to do it.
We're trying to make it super tangible by also providing fixed fees for legal and for tax and the legal setup, and providing clarity on how much it would cost to administrate it on the platform.
On a very high level, what does this process look like? You know, to go from I want to set up an ESOP to I have an ESOP plan ready to execute.
Yeah, well, it starts with the tax setup, and then so very high level tax setup.
What do you mean with tax setup?
Well, it's required. You need to structure it in a certain way, mm-hmm. dependent on a jurisdiction, for instance.
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah, of course.
You might have different offices. There are different types of employee stock ownership plans,
mm-hmm.
which fit differently for each venture.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of variables to take into account on the tax and on the legal side.
Clear. Okay. So first is the tax setup. So understanding your fiscal structure, also mapping it to how you've structured the company, of course,
yep.
which is really important. And it depends quite a little bit on the jurisdiction that you're in.
Yeah.
Then what?
Well, then you start contract drafting. Then you draft contract together with a legal firm,
mm-hmm.
and then when everything is ready, you need to administrate it. And often now it's administrated in Excel files, and mainly what we see is that it's been administrated in Excel files, and there is no overview. And then you want to, of course, obviously administrate it somewhere where you have a clear overview.
Yeah.
And but not only again on admin level, but also on the participant level, because that's also really important for the communication towards your employees, and that they know how it's progressing and how much it's how much it's worth. And how,
I really like the fact that you are bringing together different stakeholders that are required to set up this process and to set up this structure, because I think that's the whole problem, knowing where to go. And also the fact that it requires multiple stakeholders that you need to bring together, I think can be quite complex to oversee and start. So it would be super interesting to learn more about this initiative later. If you could share it whenever, you know, this is more tangible, I would like to hear more about it.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know when this is being broadcasted, but then...
We will make sure to include a link. I think that would be highly appreciated. I see so many people struggle with this. What are some of the... you know, best practices, or maybe, you know, things that you've seen really go wrong in setting up ESOPs?
The lack of overview mainly, and lack of overview and the lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Communicating percentages instead of amount of shares, mm-hmm. for instance. A lot of people are left in the dark in a certain process.
Yeah.
And that's where you need certain
So administration and communication.
Yeah.
Yeah, clear. And this is obviously where the product comes in.
Yeah.
Cool. So I mean, I think you're on a very exciting journey, and there's a lot of pain points to be solved in this whole value chain that you're looking to digitize. And create more inclusivity for. What are, you know, what will the coming year and a half look like for WeVestor? What are your ambitions?
Well, we're going to broaden the product offering. We consider ourselves on a scale, if you visualize it. So from incorporation to exit, we're currently here. So first, we want to build more features. For instance, a primary exchange as an extension of our ESOP, where shares can be traded on an internal platform based on certain smart contract you draft, where you determine the rules of the game yourself.
So you would create a secondary market essentially for startup shares?
Yeah, but internally.
Internally.
Internally, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And so really as an extension of the ESOP to be able to liquidate your shares.
Yeah. Nice.
And so broad the product offering, we're also working on the portfolio management feature. Like I mentioned, we have that already in a certain way where you can...
For investors.
Yeah. Clear. But we really aim for currently for the level beneath VCs.
Mm-hmm. So angels, formal investors.
Yeah, angels, angel syndicates, venture builders, accelerators, and corporate venture capital.
Cool.
So investors who are usually still the only one investing into the company,
mm-hmm.
where they can easily introduce WeVestor to their startups. And that helps them, of course, in the, for their reporting internally, but also for the LPs. And nice. Maybe later stage, we eventually want to move towards the VCs. But I think, we should definitely aim for that target on this first.
Cool.
And so broaden the product offering. Of course, within the features we currently offer, there are different versions. So we will work more on providing a more comprehensive view of your financials, KPIs.
Nice.
We have a dedicated development team constantly developing the ESOP management feature. So that regarding the product. And regarding the team is still very product heavy. And we're now also sourcing more business developers, and not only in the Netherlands but also abroad.
Mm-hmm.
So we really want to discover new markets, validate new markets in a very lean way by hiring head of sales managers, business development managers, starting in London, currently in the sourcing process,
cool.
also Berlin, later this year, the Nordics.
Nice.
And and we already the product is more scalable than we thought at first.
That's a good product.
So also we have a surprising demand from, for instance, Israel and the UAE.
Mm-hmm.
So those are also markets we would like to validate, but in a very lean way. And if we're not able to generate traction there, we will look for other markets. Yeah.
So both on the product expansion side as well as from an international expansion side, from developing the markets that you cover. If in 5 years' time, we would be lucky and sit here together after another press release, what would the headline of the press release read?
Whew, good question. We probably have to do with expansion to other global markets. So we have a big ambition to and not only serve European startups,
mm-hmm.
but we also see a clear problem out there in other markets like the Middle East and mm-hmm. the APAC region, but even in the US we think we have a platform with which differentiates from the current competitor suppliers over there.
Nice, cool. And is there any final piece of advice that you want to share with the founders that are listening on the story of WeVestor?
Brings me back to the points we discussed earlier regarding the hiring. Anticipate early, especially in the current tight market,
mm-hmm.
and really consider important hire, basically every hire, as a sales process. Put in your best effort to attract the best talent. Because you're competing with the big boys
there.
Yeah, and that's also where, of course, ESOP comes in, which is an interesting way to attract talent.
Mm-hmm.
Keep validating. So make a little, a couple of companies and stepped into a lot of pitfalls in the process of WeVestor.
Mm-hmm.
We stepped into pitfalls of making assumptions too early on the product without validating it properly,
mm-hmm.
and that's keep communicating with your clients and leads.
Cool.
And involve them in the product development process.
Yeah, I think this is a piece of advice that goes for everybody in the whole start and scale up scene that is typically very product driven. So that's a good piece of advice, and I also really like the analogy between talent acquisition and customer acquisition, because in the end, it's as much as a sales process. This is also what we always try to, preach and teach our partners, because recruitment is, mission critical, but very often considered to be an afterthought. And the capacity not to deliver on your hiring roadmap, I think, is the biggest reason why business cases are jeopardized in the end. So thank you very much, Floris. It was a great conversation, and looking forward to talk to you again, not in 5 years, but a little bit sooner.
A little bit sooner.
Thank you very much for the great conversation, and all the best with Weavefester's journey.
Thanks, guys. It was great to be here.
Cool.